Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The virtues of the Holy Quran Sharif. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recitation of the Quran in Salah is more rewarding than the recitation outside Salah. Recitation outside Salah is preferable to Tasbih and Takbir. Tasbih is superior to Sadaqah, Sadaqah to fasting, and fasting is protection against the fire. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recitation of the Quran in Salah is more rewarding than the recitation outside Salah. Recitation outside Salah is preferable to Tasbih and Takbir. Tasbih is superior to Sadaqah, Sadaqah to fasting, and fasting is protection against the fire. The superiority of recitation of the Quran Sharif over Dhikr is evident because the Quran Sharif is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned earlier, the superiority of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the speech of others is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's superiority over His creation. The superiority of zikr over sadqah has been stressed in other ahadith as well. But the superiority of sadqah over sawm as given in this hadith seems contrary to that given in some other ahadith, where fasting is said to be better than sadqah. This difference is due to the variations in the type of people and the condition of life. According to this hadith, fasting comes last in order of merit. When fasting is protection against the fire of Jahannam, we can imagine numerous blessings of the recitation of the Quran Sharif. The order of Ihya reports on the authority of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that for every letter recited there are 100 blessings for one who reads the Quran Sharif while standing in Salah, 50 blessings for one who reads while sitting in Salah, 25 blessings for one who reads in the state of wudu outside Salah, 10 blessings for one who reads without wudu, and 1 blessing for him who does not read himself but listens eagerly to the reader. The author of Ihya reports on the authority of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that for every letter recited there are 100 blessings for one who reads the Quran while standing in Salah, 50 blessings for one who reads while sitting in Salah, 25 blessings for one who reads in the state of wudu outside Salah, 10 blessings for one who reads without wudu, and 1 blessing for him who does not read himself but listens eagerly to the reader. The Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us, does any one of you like that when he returns home, he should find 3 she-camels pregnant and fat? We said, we would love to do so. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 3 ayat which one of you may recite in his salah are better than 3 big pregnant and fat she-camels. A similar subject matter has been described in hadith number 3. In this hadith there is a reference to the recitation of the Quran Sharif inside salah, which is more virtuous than recitation outside salah. That is why a comparison has been made to pregnant she-camels, because just as in one case there is a reference to 2 virtues, that is salah and recitation, in the other case there is a reference to 2 things, that is a she-camel and her pregnancy. It has been mentioned under hadith number 3 that ahadith of this kind are only for the purpose of a simile. Otherwise the everlasting reward of 1 ayat is more valuable than thousands of mortal she-camels. May Allah Ta'ala give us an explanation. Social etiquettes. One Muslim's rights over another are: when you meet him, make salam to him. When he calls, answer him. When he invites you, accept his invitation. When he sneezes, say Alhamdulillah. When he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, reply with Yarhamukallah. When he is ill, visit him. When he passes away, accompany his janaza. Like for him what you like for yourself. One Muslim's rights over another are: when you meet him, make salam to him. When he calls, answer him. When he invites you, accept his invitation. When he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, reply with Yarhamukallah. When he is ill, visit him. When he passes away, accompany his janaza. Like for him what you like for yourself. When entering your house, greet the family members with Assalamu alaikum. If someone conveys salam to you, reply with the following, Alayka wa alayhi salam. If someone conveys salams to you, reply with the following, Alayka wa alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq,
inshaAllah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa, وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. As we have tried to explain that keeping the basic roza, that is what niyat of roza for the pleasure of Allah, and abstaining from food, drink and one's sexual desires from subah sadiq until sunset, that will constitute our basic roza, the faraz roza. We will be absolved and our roza will have been done. But to benefit fully from the roza, we must keep a complete roza, a perfect roza. And that means roza of the eyes also, not to look at any haram. Roza of the tongue also, not to speak anything which is haram. Roza of the eyes, not to look down upon anyone either. Roza of the ears, not to hear anything which is haram. Then roza of the stomach, that is the food that we eat, that it must not be haram food, it must not be doubtful food, it should not be junk food, it should be healthy, wholesome food. Then roza of the other limbs of the body, the hands, the legs, the mind, the heart, that we have discussed. Then at the time of iftari, that a person must have this fear in him, that is my roza accepted or not. Not just that we kept the roza and now we are satisfied, well, I've done it, finished. And that it should be with every ibadat. Not just we made our namaz, asr is made, finish. Like for example, anyone, you give a application for a ID book, passport, visa, anything, any work. It's not, well, I gave it, it's finished. You make dua after that. You are concerned all the time. It must be accepted. I must get my passport, I must get my ID, whatever it is. You want the follow up, the result of it you want. Not just that I've sent in my application, now I'm wabay fikr. No, not worried at all. But think about our namaz we made asr. Who of us got that fikr, is my namaz accepted or not? We keeping the roza, who of us make dua, Ya Allah, please accept my ibadat. The ibadat of my whole life. Today is my ibadat, whatever I am doing, have we got that concern, or is it just like a formality? Just like an outward thing, well, we just made namaz, it's finished. We paid our zakat, it's finished, it's paid, we made hajj, but is it accepted? Though for hajj normally, people say, make dua Allah must accept it. But did we ever hear anyone say, make dua Allah must accept my namazes? That we don't have that concern. Ramzan, we still say Allah must accept our ibadat. But not particularly for roza, we say for our ibadat of Ramzan, Allah must accept it. But everything, our iman also, is it accepted by Allah or not, we don't know. And when a person gets this thought, one beautiful dua in the hadith that is very appropriate for this is that walakal utba hatta tarda. And oh Allah, I will keep on pleading with you. I will keep on begging you till you become happy with me. That I don't know. I've made my ibadat, my whole life's ibadat, whatever. But I don't know if you are happy or not. And nobody can know in this world. That we were, signs we can get. But qat'i, absolute, pure, definitely. And this is also Allah's mercy. If we should get absolute proof that our ibadat etc. is accepted, very probably pride should come into us. So Allah Ta'ala, and Allah loves this ibadat, which is bain al-khawf wal-raja, that I don't know if it's accepted, it can be rejected, and at the same time, hope in Allah's mercy. That also, Buzurgan-e-Deen, Allah reward them tremendously, what a rule of thumb they have taught us there. That when we look at ourselves, our amal, we must be despondent completely. That my namaz, what I made, where can it be accepted? My rozas, which I kept. But at the same time, then again, look at Allah's mercy also. Then have full yaqeen, it will be accepted. As we read, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that by Allah Ta'ala, how many times we, and in the hadith it comes, sinful acts, Allah writes them as sawabs by him. So when Allah is so merciful and so kind, then as we have tried, and Allah has declared, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, those who do good, Allah doesn't destroy their reward. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْعَامِلِينَ, the ones who work, Allah doesn't destroy their reward. Maulana Bayezid Pandor, Rahmatullah Ali, who was here, he said one very beautiful thing, that namaz, Allah Ta'ala himself has declared the whole of namaz, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, that make namaz solely for my remembrance. That in your whole namaz, you must only remember me. But Allah Jalla Jalaluhu himself, because namaz was taught by Allah to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah himself put in namaz, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. And Allah put in namaz, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. So your mind will go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But namaz was actually only for Allah's remembrance. And if you see the whole of namaz, from the beginning till the end, is only Allah's remembrance. Only this durood sharif, and then, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, you're referring to yourself now. But that is also in humility to Allah Ta'ala. So why did Allah Ta'ala put durood sharif in namaz? When Allah wanted namaz to be only for His remembrance, right through. Because the explanation Allama Ibn Abidin Shami Rahmatullah Ali gives in Fatawa Shamiya, Ka salatu ala nabi mustajabun qatta. Ka durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 100% accepted by Allah. And not only accepted, ulama have explained, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should tell the people, oh people, what your du'as, read durood sharif. Hazrat Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali has written, wuzu is not complete until a person reads durood sharif. So by the barakat of durood sharif, is like a tow truck. Like if you get stuck somewhere and you found a company and they come and tow you. So like when our ibadat is stuck, durood sharif pulls it into the acceptance of Allah. Our du'as, durood sharif pulls it into the acceptance of Allah Ta'ala. And you have the tug at the airport, that small thing that takes the aeroplane and puts it onto the runway. It's so small that that whole big aeroplane, but how many passengers, 300-400 passengers, but all the goods, all the cargo, everything, that small tug puts it on its way, on its place, then it will fly in the air now. So durood sharif will make you fly in the air, and it will make your ibadat fly to Allah Ta'ala. The same way the tug at the docks, which brings the ships in, big, big ships. What containers they are. Containers of machinery, of cars, what big things are on the ships. And, but that ship doesn't know, can't come into the dock. You need that tug who knows that place well. And leading it out also, the tug will take it out. Then we'll put it onto the oceans. And it will go till China, it will go till America, it will go where and where. But the tug is the start. So this is durood sharif's work. It will make all your du'as accepted. So your whole namaz also will be accepted by the barakat of durood sharif. Yeah, again, if we look at our namazes, we know what's the condition. Our namazes, where would they have been accepted in the court of Allah? All our thing, all our ibadat. But by the barakat of durood sharif, Allah not only accepts durood, but Allah Ta'ala accepts that whole amal in which durood sharif was recited. So durood sharif is such a great barakah of amal also, and by the barakah of durood, all our ibadat can be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when a person's tears come out in dua, this is so to say a receipt from Allah that your dua is accepted. Like proof of payment, you get a receipt, you may put it, it's your proof of payment, you paid for it. So this is proof that your dua is accepted. And so to say, an audited receipt, not only from the merchant, but the auditor issued a receipt. There is no doubt in that. That is by reading durood sharif. Everyone can't cry when he makes dua. even a person who cries easily, doesn't cry every time, but Durood Sharif every person can read. And by the barakat of it, all our ibadat can be accepted. So we should read Durood Sharif with all our ibadat. So anyway, our ibadat that we make, our roza, when we open our roza, and from there, all our ibadat, when we have finished, have this worry that is it accepted or not by Allah Ta'ala. And if a person reads with meaning, with concentration, at the end of namaz, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, the dua. And after salam, astaghfirullah, not just as customary or just as computerized, but he reads it with feeling and realizing that, Ya Allah, I couldn't make, and especially sometimes, also there is another very important point. Hazrat our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adamullah Fuyudahum, has quoted this hadith in Hazrat Swan Bayan, that namaz in which there is no wasawis, where you read 100% from the start to the end, no other thought you got, that is the namaz of the Jews and the Christians. And again, I'll repeat it, because it doesn't seem to make sense outwardly, that namaz in which there is no waswasa, in which you get no other thought whatsoever, that is the namaz of the Jews and the Christians. To understand this point, one time a Shia told Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, that till today no Shia has ever become a Qadiani. It's only Sunnis who become Qadianis. So Mufti Sahib was very ready with his answers. So he said, Shaitan is not a stupid fool wasting his time where there is nothing to steal. Shia got no Iman, so what must he steal from there? Iman is by a Sunni, so he comes and he wants to rob him of his Iman. But Shia got no Iman. So just like that, the Jews and Christians got no Iman, which is acceptable by Allah in this time. They got no Iman. So what must Shaitan go and steal there? He goes there where there is Iman, where by the people of Iman. So this were, and this, the Sahaba, when they complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that such terrible thoughts come to us, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it happening already? He said, yes. They said, that is Iman. Because Shaitan comes to you, if you get wasawis, that's a sign you got Iman. That is why Shaitan is troubling you. And also from this point, understand another point, which also many people misunderstand and they become very despondent. A person who has got lot of lust and desire, vuma in him, he's got lot of strength in him. That person normally feels, I'll never make it. I'll never become a success in life. My Islah can never be made. I got so much of desire. Temptation of guna is so great in me. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, what an arif of Allah Ta'ala, an arif of nafs and the Islah that how Hazrat has prescribed. He said, the more desire you got, the more vuma you got, the bigger wali of Allah you can become. To understand this point, where I was previously in Germiston, once we were few people sitting, the Mutawalli was a very good man, he was also there. So he mentioned in the discussion, and he must have been round about 50 at that time. He said, till today, I never got a traffic fine for anything, for seat belt, not putting my indicator on, not parking in the wrong place or something. So we all were surprised, 50 years and not one fine. Because you do make a mistake, you're speeding fine, you do get caught somewhere. So then he said, I never drove a car. So if you don't drive a car, how are you going to get this fine? You won't get a fine if you never drove a car. So a person who hasn't got desire, he can't become a wali of Allah. It's an established masala for a person like a farishta. The farishta's got no desire. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, if the most beautiful Hurul Ain have to come and sit in the lap of Jibreel alayhi salam, it will mean absolutely nothing to him. And this also, what a reality it is, our Buzurgs, like what farishtas they were. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi, when he got married, Then after the woman, commonly they talk. After few days, the other woman asks this wife, how's things going, everything? And especially the mother-in-law, the wife's mother want to know whether the marriage has been consummated or what is happening, what's the inside life. They try and get some idea. So she said, what to say about Maulana? He opens his kitab after Isha and tell Fajr Azan, he's busy with his kitabs. They say, nothing else? That's all. What? He's a farishta. He's sitting, and Maulana was like that a whole night. So he say, he never even like came to you, touched you, spoke to you. Never, not one word also, nothing. Speaking, but nothing else, nothing further than that. So then they gave her advice, you touch him, you interfere him, you go and play with him. And when she did that, then he said, oh, ye to koi aur hi dunya hai. This is a world which I never knew. I have to explore this world also. I never knew there is this world that exists. So pure they were also anyway. But also, this is like a person. These things here, farishtas, Jibreel alayhi salam, what they know, what is this? It's not in their field. So a person who can, if you go to the Qabristan, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, and you address the dead people and say, what muttaqi, pious people, you don't commit one guna also. They can't commit a guna. And if you go to a place where there is nudity, where there is haram, where there is all guna, and the person is staying pure there, that is the person that to be praised. Who can commit all the temptation is there, but he stays away from it. That is, so the more you got desire, don't think you can be, you can become the greatest wali, the more greater wali. Any desire, any temptation, the more you have in you, the only thing is, don't commit the guna. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum instructed us, don't even ever make dua that Allah must finish your desire for haram. The desire for haram is not haram. Many people think I got haram desires. So that is, I'm finished. I will be destroyed. The desire for haram, for alhamaha fujuraha. Allah says, we put with that ilham, that desire of haram also. Wa taqwaha. Allah gave you your accelerator and He gave you your brake. It's not only the accelerator you got, but you got the brake also. You can drive freely. Our Shaykh says, you want to look at your wife whole night from head to toe. No problem. From whichever angle you want to look. No problem. But when the minute another woman's thoughts come, put sharp brakes. Another woman just comes, put sharp brakes. What is halal for you? No problem. You are driving at 200 kilometers per hour. And your car is also fit for it. The road is also, it's safe, you can drive. No problem. Where the government also allows, Germany, there are no speed restrictions on the freeways. You can drive. But the minute there is a traffic hazard, the minute there is a bend coming, now apply your brakes. So when you are free, what Allah's hukam is, and Hadrat's one great advice is also this, that don't prevent your nafs from halal things also, which are from permissible things. Give your nafs, let it enjoy. Otherwise your nafs will also become rebellious. That what a Sufi I got, that he doesn't even allow me permissible things. And that nafs will become rebellious and get you involved in haram. And we see this happening. When a person becomes like so hard and so strict on small, small points also. And it's like very, very stiff and very strict and hard. He breaks also so easily. And a person who's soft and allows the nafs permissible things, then inshallah that nafs will feel happy also. That this person is allowing me to do the permissible, won't take him into the haram. Otherwise, like children, if you are very hard with them, they do those things afterwards, which you also get shocked. If you are too hard with them, they be turn out to be so rebellious. So you never ever, even with children, be too hard and too strict in the limits of Sharia. Don't go to the other end and tell them, let them do all their naughtiness. Don't have any restriction on them. Let them take out all their naughtiness. That some people got this wrong philosophy also. That when children are small, leave them. Let them do whatever they want to. That is also totally. And don't make them like robots on the other side. That everything are strict and hard. Choose an in-between way. So anyway, so when we have kept our roza, one important thing is that we must have this worry whether my ibadat is accepted or not. And by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah is mustaghni. And Allahu samad, Allah is samad. Al-mustaghni an kulli ahad. Allah is not in need of anyone. Wal-muhtaj ilayhi kullu ahad. And every one and everything is 100% in need of Allah. Even if your namaz, your whole ibadat, your whole life is 100% perfect, it's not wajib on Allah that He must accept it, He must give you Jannat. What favor did you do to Allah? What did you pay Allah Ta'ala for? Everything, that tawfiq is also from Allah's side. In between, just before I forget, we had one Maulana here, and there is also inshallah for our benefit, and he explained one, we had to give a phone number, so I gave the phone number, and gave it with the English words, 086, whatever it was. So then he told me they were sitting with Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Hadsab Rahmatullah Ali in Madinatul Munawwara. And Hazrat was very strict on these points. So somebody, they asked for a phone number and they gave him with the English words. Hazrat went Lal Pila, became very angry. And he said, sitting in Madina Sharif, in the city of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and using the language of his enemy, Maulana Abrar al-Haqsab could not tolerate this. Once when we invited him a few madrasas for our jalsa, Hazrat was coming, and a principal of another madrasa phoned me and he said, we should, since it's jalsa time, we invite Hazrat, and the actual thing, we should have gone personally to invite him. But now there isn't so much time also, so at least let us write letters, not just when he comes here, then just like a by the way issue, make it an objective. Write a letter. So we wrote letters. So on our letter, Hazrat wrote, we have our logo, our emblem on the madrasa letterhead is a rahel with a kitab open, which is the Quran Sharif. And Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haqsab Rahmatullah Ali explained this point, that the king is Allah must sit only on the throne, not in any ordinary chair. The king is the king. He must sit only on the throne. He mustn't demote himself. He mustn't lower himself. He must sit only on the throne. And the Quran is the king. And the throne is the rahel. So Maulana, until today in Arabs, this is very common. They won't put the Quran on a desk. Even if you see in the Haram of Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, the hips classes, they all got the rahel. This cross like this you put it, that is called the rahal. That is the place for, and on the rahal you should not put any other kitab. It's only for the Quran Sharif, you shouldn't put any other kitab there. So our rahal on our logo and the kitab, so it's the Quran Sharif and it's open in the picture. So Hazrat said, if that is the case, then it's a bi'adabi to leave the Quran Sharif open. How far, he thinks. And then, for the other madrasa, they wrote only the English date. On their reply, he wrote that you haven't put the Islam, there is an Islamic institute, and you haven't put an Islamic date. And he said, also, I think if you should put the Islamic date should have been below the English date. And that speaks volume of our priorities and our preferences, that we don't realize where we come from and who we are. This is how Buzurgani didn't pick you up on the small, small points. And then his humbleness, he says, if it's correct what I'm saying, accept it and make amal accordingly. And if it's wrong, inform me, so that I can correct myself. Allahu Akbar. Where can we get buzurs? We must make, if we make our whole life shukr for our akabir which Allah have given us, wallah, no other religious people, no Muslims also got such a kabir which Allah has blessed us with. These people are real stars, more than stars also. So anyway, he said that the phone number, Maulana Abrar al-Haqsab became very angry, why you, and we should think of ourselves. Today when we are in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, we can't give up this commentary of our sports which we are following. We are following scores there also. The politics of our countries we can't give up. When we write in Makkah Sharif, We don't know anything of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We haven't got time to go and read Salatul Salam properly. We have to rush out for food in the hotel, going out to eat at restaurants, and watching TV, watching the newspapers. That is more important to us. So we should see and try and get our preferences in order. Then also he explained, in the madrasa he was studying, Kabirwala in Pakistan. At that time, which is not long, he's still living. So maybe 50 years ago, when he was a small boy studying, 45 years ago, in the whole madrasa, only two people had watches. Not cell phones. Watches. Only two people in the whole madrasa, senior ustads, principal, somebody else, they had watches. So one ustad sent him to go and ask one of these people, what's the time? So he asked, when they say, time kya hua? He told him, go and make fresh wuzu, make two rakats namaz, make toba. Why you used an English word? The word time. Today we don't care. We just, we take for granted. Then he went, he made his two rakats namaz, he came back. So again, he told him, go make two fresh wuzu, two rakats salatul toba. You didn't make salam. You just came and asked for time. He went, again he came back, he asked again. He told, go, make wuzu, make two rakats namaz. Your chadar you are wearing, the shawl in winter which is worn, is below your ankle. Go and make two rakats salatul tawbah. Then he gained four anas, which was a lot of money in those days. And then he said, till today, that tarbiyat, I got this in me. But today, many of us, especially young ulama, they get offended when you tell them something. They feel we know all, we are the know all. And also the attitude is, they graduated 2-3 years ago. And then after that they say the young graduates. They just 2-3 years they have graduated. And they already feel themselves at the category of being seniors. And these people here are juniors that they just graduated. Now these young people and see how they behave and how they carry on. So this the pride stops us from accepting. And if we want the teachings of our buzurgs to carry on, usually all, even in the house, the old people, we feel they nagging all the time. But they are telling us things of what they got from experience, over how many years of experience. And one time, I was, when I was spending my year in Jamaat, I came to Markaz, and Maulana Palanpuri saw me, and he grabbed me and he said, oh, mera chand aa gaya. He was so happy, etc. But Tabligh people, they know their tashkil properly. We had one teacher, he said, when tashkil is being made, then don't even scratch here. But the moment you pick, oh, mashallah, brother is ready. And you can't get away from them. If you look down, they say, yeah, it's for the qabr we are making, to get ready for the qabr. So you've got no way out. So anyway, Maulana told me, see, I'm telling you something now. If you listen to me, my 50 years of experience which I got, you're going to get in 1 minute. And if you don't listen to me, you'll reject it. So accept what I say. He had a jamaat ready, he said, we're just looking for an amir. And we need an amir to take this jamaat, we are desperate at this time. So anyway, what I'm trying, the old, and Maulana should say this also, when you go in jamaat, old people become young, and young people become old in jamaat. And you should explain that old people, you see them now carrying their own bedding, their own bags, they like young people. At home, they dependent on everyone. But now in jamaat, some tabiat of theirs, they want to do everything. Nobody must help us, we'll carry ourselves, we'll do. And young people get the experience of old people. When they start making decisions, their decisions are like old people. Like so much experience they have got. So you become, a young person becomes old as far as your experience is concerned so quick. So this is when old people give us advice. In fact, it comes in the hadith that sa'ilul ulama. When you want to ask your masalas, ask the ulama. Don't just depend on yourself. Today it is internet, everything Google. Anything, Google. You just go and Google everything. No, ask the ulama. وَجَالِسُ الْكُبَرَىٰ And sit in the company of the old people. You'll get the experience. What took them 50 years, 80 years to learn, you'll get it in a minute, in that experience. So you'll benefit tremendously. وَخَالِطُ الْحُكَمَا. Hukama is usually in the hadith and the words of our buzurgs, is referring to buzurgs. We usually translate it as a wise person. Who's a wise person? These buzurgs are the wise person. They are the people who, which comes in the hadith sharif, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsahu amila lima ba'd al-maut. These are all the buzurgs. Buzurgs are those people who prepare at-tajafa ani dari al-ghurur wal-inabatu ila dari al-khulud wal-istidat lil-maut qabla nuzuli. This is all the hukama are the buzurgs. They are the pious people. So khalitul hukama, sit with the old people now and then, sit with them. But with the hukama, with the buzurgs, be in and out with them. Be part of them. Be so close to them. This is how a person will benefit, inshallah. So that was one thing he had said those two things in between, which are of great benefit, I felt. I benefited tremendously. I said, share it with our other brothers. Others will also benefit from it. So this attitude of all our ibadat, Allah loves that ibadat at the end where there is tawbah and istighfar. And if a person feels like small children, you ask them, how many rozas I kept? How many rozas you kept? All I kept. Eh? So, and they are happy about it. They suffer also, but they want to keep. Why? They want to say, I kept all. But there is also a jazba which Allah has given. May Allah Ta'ala make it even more stronger. But the thing is, when we have kept our roza, this fear must come. And that is the best ibadat, where at the end, they store by istighfar. That a person fears, is it accepted or not? Not this feeling of pride and achievement or something. And to explain that, one great buzurg's poem is so beautiful that naaz-e-taqwa se phir achhi hai niyaz-e-randi. Taqwa is a great quality, matloob, maqsood, that we have taqwa, the fear of Allah, we abstain from guna. But if that quality has brought pride in a person, that is called naaz now. That in your taqwa, you have got pride, that I am a big buzurg, I save myself from guna, I don't commit. Look at these people, what gunas they are doing. I'm a big buzurg, I don't commit. And actually you're not committing guna. But this pride in that guna, naaz-e-taqwa se phir achhi hai niyaz-e-randi. Randi is that woman who sells herself. A prostitute who sells herself, what a big guna. How terrible isn't her condition. But what that terrible guna and sin of hers, if she's crying to Allah, she's making niyaz to Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me. Maybe whatever, she's desperate, she hasn't got anything to make ends meet, for whatever, but it is haram. There is nothing that can justify. But she's crying to Allah. Ya Allah, forgive me. I'm so bad. She is better than this person who has got taqwa. But this taqwa has brought pride in that person. It shows how terrible pride is. Hey, if you have the best honey and the aloe, you add it, it makes that honey also bitter. So pride is that thing, that I kept my rozas. Oh, other people, they're not even keeping rozas. I kept my 30 rozas. I made taraweeh every night. I made so many khatams I made. Other people, not even one khatam they made. I made so many khatams. If this pride comes in a person, then this is a very dangerous thing. And in fact, you are in a sense worse off. You work so hard and you earn nothing. And a person who didn't work, he was just lying one side. And he knows I don't deserve anything also. But you who work so hard and you think I'll be paid so well, and because of your pride. So this is a killer disease, pride. And pride is the father and the mother of anger also. And of ghibat and backbiting also. It gives birth to so many other diseases again. What is this pride? One explanation of it, that in your own mind, you became Sheikh Chilli, the story which we explained, that you all these day dreams. So you, in your mind, you dream, I'm somebody big. So this you have established in your mind. Now people are not treating you according to that. They're not praising you. They're not making your khidmat according to that. Then you become angry. Then you go into a depression. But if you had tawadu, that I am nothing, The person who does the smallest thing for you also, you'll appreciate it. But when you have got this pride in you, that I'm such a big alim, I'm such a big buzurg, I'm such a big man in the town, in many places, the people, they don't ask me, they're just doing what they want to. So you've got in your mind that I've got this position, I'm a big person, everyone must ask me. And they're not asking you, they're not taking advice from you, you get offended on that. So that means that there's pride. And this brings a destruction to that person for himself. Pride destroys you yourself first. Before it destroys other people, it destroys you. You become despondent, you go into a state of depression, that why aren't people respecting me, why aren't they praising me? And if you regard it yourself as a nothing, then whatever little also, you'll appreciate people commonly, that they don't make salam to me. Because you think I'm somebody that others must make me salam. Why don't you think you ask yourself, why didn't I make salam? You should be making salam, you waiting for other people's salam. And the same thing is the killer in the family, in the house also. When the husband has made, which our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatu explained, especially for Maulanas, they made bayan, they made khutbah, they made namaz, whatever, and everyone praising them, everyone holding their hands, kissing them. When you go home, forget it. She hardly noticed you came. She hardly knows that somebody even came in the house, that even a shadow came in the house. She is busy with her work, and now you feel offended. The whole world just now, how they were praising me, how they put me on top of the clouds. And here at home, this treatment I get, and she makes your Islah. There are two great shares of a person which a person does not know. One is your wife. She makes your Islah in such a way that your Shaykh also, she will tell you things as they are. And she won't pull punches and she won't be shy to say. Your Shaykh will still consider you that I mustn't offend him and I must say to him in a nice way, but your wife won't consider. And more than that, your children. They will even tell you more clearly what they want to tell you. So that if you want your Islah, if you learn the dua for example, tell the wife and children, remind me, always we must read. And you tell them to read. And they will be the first to tell you, you told us so much to read, you're not reading yourself. You told us to enter the house with the right leg, you entering with the left leg. They will be the first, and they notice everything so well, that we get surprised that how much they notice about us, which we don't even think about ourselves. So they make our Islah. And if you haven't got pride, your Islah will be made very quickly. But if you have this, that nobody must tell me, who is the wife to tell me, who are the small children? And then we just push them aside, and we brush them aside easily, that we know how to do all that. But if you want your Islah, then let there be a nice environment in home where they can also say all their things. And they can say it openly. Then your lot of Islah will be made. So this thought of ourselves that I'm somebody, I've got some position, this is a very terrible thing. And in the family also. And where the wife also feels, I mustn't be told anything. Or the husband feels, I mustn't be told anything. And who is the wife to tell me after all? The wife can still tell the husband, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. But what right has the wife got? But it comes in the hadith, or the mazmoon of Hazrat Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh, that good wives are there, those that they are worried of the deeni condition of their husbands also. And they advise them. But then we just want to quieten them. And we tell them, you don't tell me anything. You got no right to tell me. No, let them speak. It's for your benefit they are speaking. And they will correct us on so many things. For example, how many maulanas always late? For namaz we go late. For anything else, any program, she advises you, be ready before time. You don't, they're just rushing and that, which has become a trend and a habit. Seri also the last minute. Namaz also the last minute. Everything. This is very unhealthy for a person. Your tension builds up, especially in our days where you have to drive on the roads and now you are rushing. Last minute you are. Then you're picking up tickets. You are parking in wrong places. You become rude also because you want to push in here and you want to push in there. So many things. Now when she advises you, take her advice. Do it properly. And then you see how much of tranquility will come in your life. Our good friend, Maulana Qasim Zubair Ali, Rahmatullah Ali, those days we are young. So he's, whenever we are discussing what time we should go somewhere, he said we'll go half an hour later. So then we can start rushing. So that even airport you want to go, now you go later. So now you some people only get fun when they all in rushing and that. When things going smooth, nicely, they don't enjoy. Like one person, he said that a person who is very disciplined, he never gets the enjoyment of losing something and then finding it. A person who, his keys never get lost, they're always there. And a person who's not disciplined, now he's lost his key, now this, now whole house is looking, everyone is looking. And 1-2 hours, now you, oh, we found it. Now you get that enjoyment. The person who's disciplined, he won't get that opportunity, but it doesn't justify it. And buzurgs, according to some buzurgs, the whole tarbiyat is to discipline a person. That if the key is in your right pocket, it must be always in your right pocket. If your pen is someplace, we see till today so common, the cell phone, that a person it rings and the person is fumbling for this way, that way. It should never be the case. You should know exactly where, so much so that if you have to phone or tell somebody, see, I've forgotten this thing or this work at home, and you give him perfect directions, it will be, yeah, it will be, and you find it exactly like that. That is how it must be. That if the lights are gone in the dark, you know exactly where your shoes are, where your sandals are, where your keys are, everything. This discipline is very important. And a person, and our great buzurgs who did fantastic amount of work, it is one great thing was because they were disciplined. That is why they could achieve so much. And a person who's not disciplined, that person doesn't achieve much in life. A person who's disciplined with his time, with his energy, with everything. So much so, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abul Ghudda, rahimahullah, who had great regard for our ulama of India and Pakistan and visited them regularly, explains one of our great alims he visited, and in his room where he was staying, did all his work, etc. There were two doors, and at both doors he had a pair of sandals. So he asked him, isn't this extravagance? That two sandals, if you need it from here, he say it may look as extravagance, but I don't want to waste that time. So I want to go from this door, my sandals are there. So I want to go from this door, that little, how long does it take that 2.5 meters, 2 meters, the breadth of that room, a small little room, how long it takes to take the sandals from there. But this is, which is the time which is so valuable. We also, many things, we get into the small things, and we are wasting time in there. And the most expensive commodity is time. And to save a few rands or a few cents, we'll do engage ourselves in some activity to save a few cents. But on the other hand, we are wasting time. Time is the most expensive commodity. Time is that not expensive, not rare commodity, which can never come back. Your money can come back. Your health can come back. May Allah protect us. If you lose your iman, your iman can also come back. But time cannot come back. So this is what the discipline in a person's life. That other second part of the poem, Naaz-e taqwa se phir achhi hai niyaz-e randi, jaahe zuhad se phir achhi hai meri ruswai. Zuhad is also one quality that a person should try and develop. And what does zuhad means? Abstinence. Not to fall into luxury. Not to fall even into comfort. Just the bare necessities. Though Sharia has permitted comfort, to stay comfortable is all right. And little bit of luxury, but to indulge in luxury. Everything you just in the luxury, Sharia has not permitted that. But the greatest thing is abstinence. That only your bare necessities. In everything you see, your clothing, how many, one place we went to, in one country, and there was a bayan for the ladies when we reached there by the door, there was a hot country and safe country, shoes etc. kept outside the house. So the whole shoe rack, from the bottom till the ceiling was filled with shoes. So I got very happy. Lot of ladies have come for the bayan. Afterwards we found all their shoes were their house lady shoes. So many shoes are there to have. This is not abstinence. I'm trying to explain what if you have to open a cupboard and you see that cupboard is full. Then you see suitcases are full. So many burqas, 15 burqas. Where does a woman need all that? Where does she need so many things? So this is to do on the bare necessities. And mashallah, there are those ladies even today, and in the past also, and our buzurgs, clothing also they were particular, they're very particular. Their murids make extra clothing, but they don't. Only so many pairs are enough for us, that is enough. And the time of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, we can't believe one pair clothing. When they used to go into a bath for Jummah, the same time they wash their clothes. They put it outside. The water became their parda. So they sitter. So they covered themselves. And it got dry, they wore it. And then they lived on that. We can't reach that stage, which is very far, very high. But at least there's all extravagance. Today men have become like women. The amount of shoes men keep, the amount of clothing men keep. Only keep your bare necessity. Be comfortable, but just keep your bare necessity. That is very, very important. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, most probably, his wife told him that, why don't you also ask for a post, a governor in a place? You also can live. He said, I want to live light in this world, then I'll be light on the day of Qiyamah. Everyone will have to carry his weight there. And so, yeah, how lot aren't we carrying? And all this extra, we don't use it. If you got 20 pairs of shoes, you're not going to wear 20, you only wear one pair. And to make yourself happy, don't keep 20 pairs, just go into some window shopping. And believe all that shoes are my shoes. As it is, these also you're not wearing, those also you're not wearing. All that clothes which you see there, these are my clothes. So you just make yourself happy that it is mine. And you're only going to wear, how lot food you're going to eat? You know, and today also, we should see, in the past, 10 people used to eat from one utensil. That one thali, one big thali, 10 people should eat. Today, one person needs 10 utensils. Right? There is the big plate, the small plate, the side plate, the bowl, the teaspoon, the dessert spoon, the tablespoon, the knife. How many things there are? One person needs so much. So abstinence is a great quality. So anyway, if this abstinence has brought pride in you, jahe zohad se phir achi hai meri ruswai. A person committed a guna, he got exposed, people came to know, and he's disgraced in society now, but he's crying to Allah Ta'ala. He is better than that person who is like a big buzurg. He's got taqwa also, he's got zohad also, but he's got pride. It brought pride in him, it brought jah in him, it brought naz in him. He became sick, but that pride, that destroys all that good. So after keeping our rozas, doing all our ibadat, humbleness is required. Never have a holier than thou attitude. You got a proper full sunnah beard, which is needed, which is commanded, which you must have proper. But if you look down at somebody who hasn't got a sunnah beard, you are worse than him. With your full sunnah and your full sunnah dress, if you look down at somebody, yes, you advise him, you tell him, but don't think you are better than him. If that little bit comes into you that I'm better than this person, you fall immediately from Allah Ta'ala. Amar bil ma'aruf nahya anil munkar. He's correct in his place. We have to do that. But that does not also give you the right to think. And you only got the right. Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh, what ulum Allah blessed our Shaykh with. Hazrat says that those people who do Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, see the Quran, how it has explained it. Al Amiruna bil Ma'ruf wa Nahuna anil Munkar, immediately after that, wal Hafizuna li Hududillah. In doing Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, keep Allah's limits in place. Don't overstep don't misuse your position. You're a maulana. Doesn't give you the right to humiliate the people and speak to them, give them such a lathering in your bayan, and you humiliate them. No, keep Allah's command. When Allah Ta'ala sent a Nabi like Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, to a sinner like Fir'aun, Allah Ta'ala said, فَقُولَ قَوْلَ لَيِّنَا. Be humble to him. For a person like a tyrant, terrible ruler like Fir'aun, and a Jalali Nabi like Musa, Allah is giving him that command, that if we so, how careful we have to be. So whatever we do, If we are writing kitabs, we are running down rooms, we are in tabligh, we are in khanqa, but never let this pride come into you. That way, that will destroy you completely. You practice and try and bring the whole of deen, but this holier than thou attitude, that I'm holier, I'm better than you, this is a very dangerous thing. And in Allahu Akbar, one time, when our Hazrat was in a different place in Karachi, in Nazimabad, Hazrat's Majlis was taking place, and one person came there, and from head to toe, every aspect of sunnah, complete, walking stick, everything, and actual walking stick, at the bottom there should be a nail also, a small little nail. So everything he was complete, and he started objecting. All the things that you people, you're not according to sunnah, various things and that. And about the plates also, he say using glass plates. And he even found fault with Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah alayhi, that he is also not practicing on sunnah. He eats in glass plates and that. Earthenware plate is the actual sunnah. All that was his. So that was his attitude. So he told all these things. Hazrat said, at that time, this man is in great danger. After some time, few years, a man came there again, three-piece suit and hat, western hat, everything. And he came to the majlis, he sat down. So Maulana Mazhar Sahib asked Hazrat, do you remember this man? He said, no, first time I'm seeing this. He said, there's that same man who came that time. And that time he told his father, Abba, you told that this man is in great danger. And now he has changed like this. So finding fault with people and feeling that I am perfect, this is very dangerous. And also in these matters, all matters of need, always keep them to their limit. To wear a amama, turban, is sunnat in the sense, there are two words for sunnat, sunnat-e mu'akkada, sunnat-e ghair mu'akkada. Sunnat-e mu'akkada, if you do, that we have to do, otherwise you get guna. Sunnat-e mu'akkada. Sunnat-e ghair mu'akkada, no guna. And the other term in Shariat is mustahab for a sunnat-e ghair mu'akkada. And this whole explanation is given by Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi, rahmatullah. So to make a mustahab and to insist on it, whether it is in practice, whether it is in belief, and to put it at a higher stage, then that same thing becomes a bidat. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw the people making ishraq namaz with so much of pabandi, all making properly ishraq. He said, there is a bidat. It's a nafil. Keep it to the level of nafil. In your aqidah, in your views also, in your mind also, in your practice also, don't, when you start stressing and you find fault with other people, these people don't wear amama. That means you are putting it at a level which is more higher. Topi is sunnat. But amama is mustahab. We call it sunnat in the sense that it is sunnat ghair mu'akkada, and to understand it properly, it is a mustahab. So anyway, all these things a person must keep in order. Otherwise, he faces great dangers in his life. So our rozas, always all our ibadah, try and this when it comes by naturally, not that you force it, that I couldn't fulfill the rites, but just naturally you realize, make lot of shukr to Allah that if He gives you that condition that I couldn't make it my rozas as they were. I didn't spend my Ramzan as they were. I didn't make my namaz as I was supposed to be. And don't go into a depression and despondent. Look at Allah's mercy. Allah is that being that how many gunas He writes as sawabs also. So merciful is Allah. So looking at Allah, don't lose hope. Maulana Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi should give a beautiful example like your gauge you have. The perfect place where your gauge must be in the middle. If it goes this side, your water is too hot in your radiator. It's boiling, so it goes on the red side. And if it goes to this side, then also it's no good. It must be properly in the center. So when you have too much fear in you, then look at all the hadith and all Allah's instance of Allah's mercy, so that you come right. When you become too much in debt and you feel, well, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Allah will forgive after all. Well, don't have to worry. You can make gunas. So you've gone on the other extreme again. Then look at the azab of Allah Ta'ala. So bring it in the middle always. Then that is the perfect place of iman. al-imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja, between the two, that is the perfect place. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with this also, that in our whole, and persons who mort comes in that way, that is crying to Allah for forgiveness and begging for forgiveness, that person has got a very bright future. Also one beautiful saying, that every saint has got a history. Now today is a big buzur, but he's got a history behind him. And every sinner has got a future. Today is a big sinner, but he can make tawbah and he's got a great future. So don't just look at a saint as he is, don't look at a sinner as he is. A saint has got a history behind him. A sinner has got a future in front of him. So Allah's mercy is very, very great, but don't ever let pride come into us. This is the worst thing that can happen, if pride comes into us. And this also, that roza we must keep of not having pride. May Allah give us all the honor.